S-C-A-L, on the radio.com app. Just search Scal. Scal, thanks very much for joining us here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually getting ready to go to Boston Celtics-Cleveland game tonight in Cleveland. So basketball now is in full effect and it never stops.
So that's a big deal with Kyrie Irving. Oh, no, wait, that was a season ago. Sorry.
Yeah, not really. It would have been a big deal a season ago, but he never seemed to come to Cleveland. He always took a injury day during that time. But we do have a return on Thursday. Kemba Walker is returning to Charlotte. I doubt Kemba Walker will take an injury. He doesn't seem like that type of guy.
Speaking of not quite like it was a few seasons ago, just one season ago, as a matter of fact, let's get to the Golden State Warriors, who are a much different beast today than we saw them, you know, in the NBA Finals. And we all know why. The injuries are well documented. Last night, it was basically a bunch of two-way players, second-round picks, and the G League, D League team bringing them to a win over the Portland Trailblazers. Eric Paschal looks like a little bit of a second-round gem.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting with Steph Curry getting hurt. And, like, I loved all the talk coming out of the Warriors this offseason about, hey, I can't believe teams are riding us off. Like, we're heart of a champion. We're not built like this. And I would say there were times last year when you had KD, you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Steph, that you guys were disinterested in the regular season. And I sort of thought that this season was going to be a rude awakening. You know, like, I've been on a team that won a championship, and nothing like what the Warriors did, but where you're all of a sudden circled on everyone's calendar and there's a little bit of payback, and the teams are going to be gearing up for that. But I will say during this, let's call it, I don't know, retool, because I do think the Warriors do have another chance in the future to retool and build a championship contender once again. You got to get like two guys out of what you're seeing right now to either trade and upgrade or develop or something like that. Something has to come of this season for the Warriors to once again be competing for a championship. So if you're a Warrior fan, I get it. It's going to be tough and what you're used to, but you got to be hoping for, you know, one or two guys to really sort of raise their game up where you could say, like, breathe some young life into these guys who have been battle tested in the past. But those guys, those G League guys, those two way players, guys during a rebuilding process, if they can contribute in the future, it is so important for building or to getting back on top.
That said, I don't know how much you've seen of the Warriors so far, but who is most likely to be that second guy if Paschal is in fact the first guy?
Oh, I have no idea. I would, you know, like, I don't know what they're going to do with D'Angelo Russell. I don't even know if they can move that contract. So I would just say, you know, more likely anything can happen with these young players. Like, it could be 1 week this guy and next week that guy. But what you're looking for is guys who, you know, can play two ways. Like, guys who can defend at a high level and, you know, chip in and could play with the ball in their hand, or can also play off the ball. So it's a long season. You never know who's going to be that guy, but it's really important to find somebody, especially with the constrictions that the Warriors have salary cap wise.
And you talked about retooling. I mean, it isn't, to a degree, no one's excited about losing stars, but this gives you an even better opportunity to retool, because, look, there's going to be a lot of losing this year, leads to a higher draft pick, and that could either be a player add through the draft or a trade asset for them.
Yeah. You know what's going to be interesting is if you guys just look up the 2021 free agent class. So if there's some teams out there that don't believe that they could, like, they're not going to sign their guy back, there would be some teams interested in, you know, taking on a draft pick. And I don't know what the Warriors' strategy is. I don't know what Bob's going to do, if they're going to sort of think they have one more shot in them where you can go all in. Sort of, if you look at what Toronto did with Kawhi Leonard, like, they went all in on Kawhi Leonard for no guarantees in the future. They just thought that this guy would be the guy that could help them get over the hump, and they were right. I mean, obviously, a lot of injuries had to happen to Golden State for them to win a championship. But, you know, with the Warriors and their quest to win another one for whatever reason, it would be really interesting if they have a top five pick and the 2021 free agent class is coming up, and it'd be interesting to see if the Warriors can take a super high risk move on an older guy, a more established player, to give up a young talent. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of GMs or presidents calling Bob and the crew to find out like what you can get for a top five pick. So I know Barkley the other day said the Warriors, their window is shut. I really do not believe that. I believe their window is open depending on how this year goes and depending if they can move that D'Angelo Russell contract, if some team would be interested in taking on the $29 million that he's owed, you know, over the course of the next 3 years. If someone would be willing to do that and they can get some dynamic, versatile wings that can guard, it'd be really interesting to see how they retool.
Talking NBA with Brian Scalabrine here on 95.7 The Game. So I don't know if we've seen enough from any one particular team to learn that much, but as you look at the NBA at large, has there been a surprise in the early season that you weren't expecting that's jumped out to you as an early season topic that you're going to be keeping your eye on?
Yeah, Miami being good in the East is a definitely interesting topic. A lot of people don't like Jimmy Butler because he rubs guys the wrong way. In this world of everyone's so sensitive and you got to be careful about what you say to players, Jimmy Butler's kind of an old school mentality. And I think there's like a group of players that love Jimmy Butler, at least, you know, like current players, former players. And there's probably a group of people that think that, you know, you can't be this way in the locker room. What's happening with him in Chicago, Minnesota, and also in Philadelphia? So that's one thing that stood out. I think Toronto is better than people think. Out west, Phoenix, if you guys have watched Phoenix, it's the addition of Aaron Baines has really helped Devin Booker. And Devin Booker used to be an on-ball player, and now he's playing off the ball so much more. He's coming off triple handoff. He's cutting backdoor. He's coming off loop cuts.
Yeah, Brian,
like
no one's real impressed with Aaron Baines out here in the Bay Area after breaking Steph Curry's hands. We don't want to talk about him.
Well, you shouldn't be sad because that puts you in from getting the 14th pick to like the top five pick. So you should really be celebrating Aaron Baines breaking Steph Curry's hand. It gave the Golden State Warriors a clear direction. I say another one. You know, I know the Lakers had a really easy schedule, but Dwight Howard has been really impressive, and I wrote him off as like a no. I think I wrote Dwight Howard off 5 years ago. For him to be playing like this, you think he'd lost 30 pounds. He's like making multiple efforts. His ego seems to be out the door. So I didn't think that he would be a factor whatsoever because I'm remembering the old Dwight Howard. He seems to be sort of a factor there. I think Dallas and Luka Doncic. I thought Luka was good. Luka's actually a guy who could actually win an NBA MVP award. And that's crazy to think, you know, and I'm saying this in his second year. I'm not saying he'll win it this year, but there's no ceiling on what he's capable of doing. He's so strong. He can pass. He can score. He can shoot. He can get downhill. So I think those are things that, I think at least in my world, when we follow, you know, mostly all of the NBA, those things are things that are really standing out.
You mentioned the Lakers briefly, and obviously Anthony Davis is incredible, but what LeBron has been doing jumps out to me. He is the NBA's assist leader right now, and he just seems to be in a spot where he understands exactly the sort of pace he needs to take on the season, get other guys involved. And this Lakers team that almost got written off after a loss to the Clippers, they look like a juggernaut all of a sudden.
Sure. You know what's interesting? Like, I think there's a part of the NBA that no one talks about, which is how much you can dominate by giving as least amount of effort as possible. Like,
right.
Steph Curry won back-to-back MVPs. He was full tilt. I mean, every night, a guy was like, I mean, he's got to be 80, 90, 95%, like giving it all every single night. When you watch LeBron, he dominates more than any player I've ever seen. I'm not talking about, go back to Michael, go back to Magic, go back to Bird, go back to all the all-time greats, right? LeBron can dominate a game at 40%. It's so incredible. Like, he can play three-point line to three-point line, give the game what it needs, and along the way, rack up rebound numbers, rack up assist numbers. And then when he needs to turn it on, he can, and he picks his moments. And last year, I think he looked at his team and said, these guys just don't have it. I'm going to be, you know, real selective with my effort. And I know it's like something that we should never talk about, and I'm sure if you brought up LeBron, he's like, no way, I give 100% every single night. But there's something to be said about a guy who can dominate in that space where you're just like, you're playing not that hard, but you're able to be efficient out there. And I was a part of the Chicago Bulls when Derrick Rose won the MVP. Another good example, like Derrick Rose was full tilt that whole entire season, and he wins the MVP. But LeBron, laying in the weed, he was playing hard in Miami, nothing like how he coasts right now, you know, with his ball handling wizardry. But he had that juice to turn it up. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with being 6'9" or 6'8", 250 pounds and strong and athletic and all those things. But he really knows how to pick his spots. And I think when I watch the Lakers, that's the most impressive thing I've seen from LeBron at his age. Like, he's not going all out at 34 years old. He's, like, picking when he needs to turn it up and when to get Anthony Davis involved and when to hit Danny Green for a wide-open shot. It's been impressive.
With all that wrapped together, you brought up Dwight Howard before as one of those guys who was basically dead on arrival in about 8 different teams, and now he's suddenly rejuvenated to the point where he's doing a lot of the dirty work that LeBron and Anthony Davis don't have to do. As a result of that, do the Lakers, assuming health, look like a team that, almost out of accident, has been constructed about as well as any team can be?
That's a good call by you, right? Because it wasn't like their initial plan on July 1st to go out there and sign Dwight Howard, right? They kind of tripped into that. And, you know, probably NBA team had an opportunity to sign him. But it might be one of those things where LeBron's greatness is definitely rubbed off. And since he has to respect LeBron and Anthony Davis, he has to fit in as a role player. And if you can take Dwight Howard and subtract all the give me the ball, let me dribble 5 times, turn around and miss a shot, or I need the ball, I need more touches. You take all that out, and you start giving like his focus and energy towards giving multiple efforts, he does become a beast. So but I will say this. I still think the Clippers are better. Like, when I watch the Clippers, I'm assuming when Paul George comes back, defensively they're going to be so much better. And I think they're good right now. And Kawhi Leonard's going to do load management as they go throughout the year. But as a playoff team, they have so many bodies to throw at LeBron. It will be one of his greatest tests. I know a lot of people would say when he came back from 3-1 against the Warriors, but, you know, like, Steph was banged up, Iguodala was banged up, Draymond Green got suspended, Bogut was out. I look at all that when they came back from that 3-1 deficit. But, yeah, I think if he beats the Clippers with all those bodies getting thrown at him, could be one of his greatest kind of accomplishments just in one series, because I think the Clippers are built with Tyronn Lue as an assistant coach and Doc Rivers as a head coach. I think these guys are built to beat LeBron and the Lakers.
Radio.com NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls brought to you by Midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. Make sure you check out his new show, Scal and Pals, Radio.com. Brian, this was great, man. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you being part of the show today.
You got it. Anytime, guys. See ya.
Back to Robinson. Robinson brings it outside. Dribble drive to the rack. Floats it up. No good. Pascal gobbles up the rebound and slammed it down.
Again, he played so well last night, they were giving him MVP chance. I saw that. Our very own, our station's Whitley Sandrato. I saw Whitley tweet last night. She's like, I actually hear Pascal getting MVP chance. I'm like, well, there's a tweet I did not expect to read this year. Eric Pascal's MVP chance here at Chase Center.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. I'm not going to lie. Honestly, like, for a rookie, like, you hearing MVP, that's a wow moment. Like, I was more focused on the game because I was like, all right, we have a chance to win right now. Like, but to hear that, I mean, I just think Dub Nation, honestly, just for believing in me. And again, goes to my teammates. I mean, I feel like my teammates did a great job just finding me out the whole night, allowing me to have a game like this.
Like, MVP chance for me? Oh, shucks. I like the guy. I really do. Hey.